CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. This is Point of View, and I'm your host, Chandra Ligatfalvi. Today on the program, we've got two telephone interviews, one with Brandon Klim, an author of studentunion.ca, and with Ashley Engel, who's the spokesperson for a movement for campuses to leave the Canadian Federation of Students. But before we get into that, let's talk about some of the upcoming referendums that will be facing voters this October. In case you don't know, there will be three referendums this October, one of which is the Student Justice Center referendum. You can look at our archive at facebook.com/POVradio or visit cfbu.ca/archive.html to find a conversation that we had with the Student Justice Center's coordinator, Brandon Vryzin, where he explains what the Student Justice Center offers to the students. Then there's a funding initiative which would transfer $200,000 per year for the next 5 years from the BUSU Strategic Expansion Fund to the administration for the purpose of building an artificial turf facility. We're going to hear more about the ins and outs of that proposal as the coming weeks and months approach. The third referendum is a constitutional amendment which would see the petition quorum go up from 2% to 7%, and the referendum quorum go up from 10% to 14%. That referendum would also see the new Vice President of External Affairs position take over the portfolio for the Vice President of University Affairs. The total number of executives this year is 4, and according to a referendum that passed last year, the number of executives next year should be 5. However, if this October referendum passes, that number will be brought down back to 4, with the job description of the VPUA incorporated into the job description of the new VPEA, which is the Vice President of External Affairs. We're going to be talking more with the campaigns. I imagine there will be a yes campaign and a no campaign for these issues. So if you have any questions about these topics, please email us at povradiobrock@gmail.com. As well, as I've said before, you can visit us at facebook.com/povradio. We've been broadcasting this program for about 6 weeks, and we will continue to broadcast on a weekly basis every Thursdays at 2 to talk about current affairs at Brock University. We're not limited to just the Brock University experience. We're looking at issues from a wider perspective. We're talking with, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, studentunion.ca author Brandon Klim here in this broadcast, as well as we're talking about the CFS, which is the Canadian Federation of Students. But before we really get off the ground with this show, it's orientation week. It was orientation week on campus this week, and I made my way down to campus during the Wednesday portion of orientation week and started poking around and asking questions with members of the public just to get a feel for what the people on the ground on campus are really thinking about and dealing with as they engage in their new experience here in the 2013-14 semester. I'm here on location at Brock University, trying my best to reach out to the public to ask them questions about why they came to the university, what they hope to gain from the experience, and what they know about the student union.
It's off my head. I honestly don't know what I can say right now.
What major are you in?
I'm studying business, administration, and co-op.
Why did you come to Brock?
I live in St. Catharines, so it's close to home and it's very convenient because they have a good business program here.
So what do you hope to gain out of the degree?
Basically, anything that I can apply in the work world when I graduate, just get the most out of the undergraduate here and look for school even after my undergraduate.
Do you know anything about BUSU or the student union?
I know a little bit about what they have to offer, but no, not fully.
Do you pay attention at all to the campus politics?
No, not really.
What do you think the reason for that is?
There's so much going on that I'm just so focused on my school right now and all the other programs that there's not enough time to do everything you'd want to do.
Tell me your name and your major and what brought you to Brock University and what do you hope to gain out of the experience?
Well, my name is Simon Harrison. I'm a second year Brock University accounting co-op student. I'm excited to be at Brock for both accounting and varsity curling because I greatly enjoy that. My hobbies include a nice pastime of TV, enjoy Person of Interest, definitely try House of Cards, fantastic show, highly recommend it. And all those first year students, I wish you all the best. You know, have a great semester.
So what do you hope to gain out of your degree?
What I hope to gain out of my degree is a nice job, kind of at a cozy firm, you know, get close with everybody, and create an environment that's just amazing for everybody, I guess, because I'm all about that sort of environmental aspect and social aspect of accounting.
Okay. So what do you know much about the student union or the student politics?
Okay, so I know a bit about the student union. Fantastic place to go for any info you need about clubs. And there's some great people inside. Absolutely fantastic. They work hard for us and fight for our rights, so I'm very happy to support them no matter what.
What are the rights of our students? What do you mean by fight for our rights?
Rights? Right to be who we are. You know, we are all unique as we are. We have tons of interesting programs, right? We get all our sports clubs, so I guess now that the gym's free, so guys, definitely go to the gym, fantastic. Boosie will be working with that. You know, they are in charge of running Isaac's, Booster Juice, Subway, all your favorite sort of brands, you know, get to enjoy some nice meals. They support you who, whatever gender you choose to accept or whatever sort of person you choose to love, you know, great awareness about that. They run the paper, and I read the paper every week. You know, I wish a lot of people read our paper more, because that would actually give you a lot of information about what's going on.
So can you tell me why you came to Brock University and what you hoped to gain of the experience?
I came to Brock University because of the sports management program. It's the only one of its kind in Canada, so I basically went for that and hoped to gain a good experience with that program, just knowledge of the program beforehand. And I graduated from that this summer and now doing a second degree in labor studies, so yeah.
How did your interpretations change from when you were a fresh, O-week newbie to now starting a second program?
They changed majorly just with like the context credits itself. I took labor studies and ended up liking it, and I had no interest in that before, so the whole experience at Brock making you take different courses just made me go into a totally different direction. So I mean, and yeah, that's the major change, I think, in my university life. And
was there any changes in your philosophy, in how you view the world or how you view institutions in general?
Definitely. I think I had more of a conservative outlook on life and like more of a business focus with sports management. And labor kind of balanced it out a bit. So I'm not totally leaning to either side, but I think it definitely helped change my outlook on life majorly.
Did you have any encounters with the student union or student politics at all in your time here so far?
I work for the Union Station, so I have a little bit of overlap with the student union, and I haven't been involved in the politics at all, and I haven't really looked into like when there's candidates running or anything, to be honest. Probably lacking in the student union and involvement and that kind of.
Do you think that there is enough attention, or is it okay the way things are, or should perhaps people be paying more attention? If they were, would that make any difference? Does it matter? Does the student union matter at all?
I think it has its benefits, but I think they're limited. I think a lot of people don't value what they do. And I don't think it's publicized as much, and I think a lot of people take candidacy as a resume filler kind of deal and decide to run based on that, or may not admit it, but I think it happens a lot, and it's going to happen with any union, and that's kind of my business side coming out, but I do think they have a role, but I think a lot of students don't value some of the conclusions that they make or anything. Like, I know there's been some gains with the transit system this year, and I just don't think that a lot of people are really interested in it, to be honest, besides labor studies students or anybody into political science. I think other people are just like, the overall world aren't involved in politics or aren't going to vote or aren't going to do anything. So I don't think there's anything really a student union could do to, you know, make it more publicized or anything. So.
Okay, thank you so much for talking to me. We have on the telephone Brandon Klim. Brandon, will you tell me a bit about yourself and what got you involved in campus politics?
Hi, Sandor. First of all, thanks for having me on. I suppose what got me into campus politics is my experience that I had during the welcome week with my faculty student association, which it's a long name. It's the Political International Development Studies Student Association. There were about 30 and 30 guides, and that's the FROSH leaders. At the University of Ottawa, though, we don't say FROSH. We call it 101 week. And it's one, just a little side note, it's one of the only universities in Canada that still allows for a wet FROSH week, meaning alcohol is allowed to be present at events. So that's interesting. But anyways, so the PITSA executive and FROSH leaders were great during the week, my 101 week. And so I inquired how I might get involved in the association. So all that to say that I ran for election the next spring and was elected as Vice President Francophone Affairs, and that's how my student politics career started, I guess you could say.
So you were at the University of Ottawa at the time, and what year was this, and what was your major?
At the time, I started at the University of Ottawa in 2007, and I'm just about to complete my bachelor's degree in political science.
So the reason I have you on the program today is because you are a contributor to a website that keeps track of student unions across, I guess, the whole country at studentunion.ca. So can you tell me about what is the purpose of studentunion.ca and what are the kinds of things that you've been following on that website?
Well, yes, so I started contributing to studentunion.ca about just over a year ago now. The website, like you say, covers mostly Canadian student politics, but sometimes we dabble in international student politics when there's a fairly significant event. So the goal essentially is to inform, obviously, students about what's going on in the rest of the country, and as well as to inform them about what student politics is all about and what's going on a variety of campuses. There are definitely decisions that are made and money that's spent on a variety of activities or campaigns that to some people may be controversial. So it's worth talking about and discussing these issues. And studentunion.ca is just one of the many forums that allows for those discussions and debates to occur.
How did studentunion.ca get off the ground? How did it get started? And tell me about that.
Sure. So the creator of studentunion.ca is Titus Gregory. He's a a student in British Columbia who has extensive experience within the within student politics, having held a number of elected positions himself, and even at one point was quite active in a variety of campaigns of the Canadian Federation of Students, such as drop fees. He participated in you know, rallies organized by the CFS, and I mean, I have too. When I first got to the University of Ottawa, I participated in a couple of these rallies in Ottawa. So, so he created the website or the blog in 2003, it started out fairly slow. It really picked up in about 2005, and then continued on from there.
What do you think
the blog was created?
What do you think the value is of taking a look at things instead of at just a single campus, but instead in a wider campus perspective? What kind of trends can we gain from looking at things in a wider perspective?
Well, I think you get to see the various, because I'm in political science, I look at it from a political lens, and you notice trends in terms of who gets elected and what their politics are like, and you get to see a variety of issues that are become controversial not only on one particular campus, but it eventually sometimes can become an issue on a number of campuses. So those kinds of trends are not only wouldn't be noticed, I guess, if we weren't writing about it, but you're able to see a number of trends, I guess, in terms of you know, lobbying government, how different provinces do it, and so we don't only cover, I guess, one particular organization, such as the Canadian Federation of Students, but we also cover the Canadian Alliance of Students Associations, CASA, and Students Nova Scotia, and the Alberta Council of University Students. So there are a number of provincial organizations as well that do a lot of work on post-secondary education policy and lobbying, and those are worth looking into as well.
So this over last night, there was an article published, which was a news release. Was published that the headline is Canadian Federation of Students disaffiliation referenda initiated at 15 student unions. So what is that all about?
Right. So at about just after midnight, a group of students from all across Canada, actually, and from a wide array of political views, sent out a press release essentially saying that throughout Canada there are at least 15 student unions throughout the country who are currently or who are planning, that are planning on collecting signatures for a petition that would then be sent to the national executive and provincial executives of the provincial wings in order to initiate a referendum on continued membership. I first heard whispers about this over the weekend.
So what are the implications of this kind of move?
Well, first of all, as the press release mentions, the schools that are involved, there are three of the largest members of the CFS, which are the University of Toronto, York University, and Ryerson University, that are supposedly involved in, there are students who have begun collecting signatures for the petitions. And those three largest schools, they contribute a large amount to the Federation's budget. So just those, if the CFS were to lose those three members alone, their capacity in terms of having hired staff would be greatly diminished, as well as having the funds for a variety of campaigns, services, and the research would be greatly diminished just by losing those three schools alone. So that would be a significant blow to the organization if they were only to lose those three schools alone.
We're going to need to take a quick break for station identification, but we'll be right back with Brandon Klim, the contributing writer to studentunion.ca. We'll be right back.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women, 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. Only question now is what will you do?" Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada.
Back on CFU 103.7 FM. We're in the middle of a conversation with studentunion.ca contributor Brandon Klim, who is a political science graduate from University of Ottawa, or he's just finishing up his degree now. So we were just talking about a disaffiliation referenda campaign that seems to be going around at least in Ontario, which would see, according to the press release, 15 student unions pull away from the CFS. If you want to know more about that, please visit studentunion.ca. As well, we're going to be having a spokesperson from this group, Ashley Engel, on the program just after this interview. So stay tuned to hear the point of view of them. So we're running a little short on time. So I wanted to maybe ask you, what do you think is the essential purpose of a student union? And is it really only students that they represent, or is there a wider constituent of society whom student unions are defending the interests of? Is it only students who should be interested in student politics?
Well, that's an interesting question. This is somewhat of a controversial position, according to some people anyways, but I've always seen a student's union as being an organization that provides services, that provides social events, organizes social events on a campus-wide basis, that an organization that promotes student spirit and student participation in all aspects of the university experience, because it's not just here to go to school and study, but you're there to have a life experience. And you know, you have these this organization, Canadian Federation of Students, who meet on twice a year to debate a variety of motions that are brought forward by student unions. And you have, for example, if one was to happen tomorrow, you'd probably have a motion condemning, for example, any sort of military action in Syria, something to that effect. I'm just speculating, but you have, you know, very strong support for Palestine, for example, for that organization. So there's always seems to be an alienation of Jewish students who are members, who are just as equal members as anybody else of the organization. So you have international politics gets mixed in with some of the post-secondary education policy decisions, and I think that sometimes these organizations end up getting lost in those kinds of discussions, and they lose focus on what their goals are and what their purpose is.
So what is their purpose?
Well, I mean, we all pay, like, for example, University of Ottawa students, undergraduate students, all pay into the Canadian Federation of Students. So you would hope that issues such as tuition fees and, deferred fees and just a variety of other post-secondary education related issues would be top of mind. And oftentimes tuition fees are top of mind. It's just the approach, I think, is just wrong, the way that they go about their lobbying. The purpose, you know, you've got to advocate for your members, and you have to be results driven. If you're not getting results for students, and you continue to see, for example, tuition fees in Ontario going up every year since I've been in university, since 2007, and even before that, tuition has gone up. And every year they have, the Canadian Federation of Students holds a lobbying week in Toronto at Queen's Park, meet with a bunch of politicians and present a research document that argues the same thing every year, that we should have lower tuition fees. But why isn't that happening? Why aren't these policy proposals being taken up by the politicians? These are questions that, you know, I can't answer, and you have to wonder after when you have tuition fees continuing to rise year after year after year, and the results that the CFS are supposed to be, you know, trying to get, they're not getting the results that they'd hope for. Well, students are going to start to question and say, well, what's going on here? Why are we paying this money to this organization who's supposed to be advocating on our behalf and lobbying to get to better the student lifestyle or the student position in society? And nothing is changing. It just keeps getting worse. So, you know, that's a legitimate question and criticism of the organization, I think, that hasn't been answered by the organization. So,
Okay, well, we're actually just out of time for this week's broadcast in terms of it, talking with you, because we had a long, interesting discussion, but we need to stop there so that we can make room to talk about a whole bunch of other things in this hour. So we're going to leave it there for now. We do hope to talk to you again. We're talking
absolutely
with Brandon.
I'd be more than happy to speak with you again
at some other time for sure.
That's great. We're talking to Brandon Klim, a contributor to studentunion.ca. For more information about the topics we've been talking about today, visit that website. That's studentunion.ca. Our website is facebook.com/POVradio. And Brandon, once again, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, Sandra, thank you very much, and good luck with your new show.
Thank you. Next up on the program, we have an interview with Ashley Engel, who this week released a press release outlining concerns about the CFS and outright expressing that 15 university student unions are considering proposing referendums to remove their membership from the CFS. Why is that the case? What will the replacement organization be if not the CFS? Well, we'll hear from Ashley in just a moment.
Diverse, informative, local, and Canadian artists. CFBU FM 103.7.
So we're just a group of people who've been doing student organizing across Canada, and you know, a lot of us through this student organizing have found ourselves involved in CFS, and you know, through these collective experiences of ours, attempting to productively contribute to CFS and move the organization forward, a lot of us have come to the conclusion that that's not a good use of our time or resources as student organizers.
So, what is the problem or the issues with the CFS?
Sure. So, I mean, I think for us, really, the fundamental problem that we've had is discovering what a undemocratic organization it really is, and how little input students and even really student union executives with opinions that are slightly different than the CFS status quo have the ability to have an effect in decision making. And it does really seem like there's a very limited ability to affect the political direction and really contribute to the political direction and activities of the Canadian Federation of Students.
So how did, so let's actually dig into the press release, which says that 15, there are potentially 15 referendums to disassociate with the CFS. How does such a wide-reaching thing become organized? What is the organizing organ? How have you achieved that?
Yeah, so luckily, there is a lot of communication between student organizers across the country that happens outside of CFS. So, you know, all of us are people who have met through our participation in different student organizing projects. And what we found when we started talking to each other is that we had all really had the same problems, that we had all brought forward similar motions at different points to CFS AGMs, and that, you know, none of us had gotten very far. But beyond not having gotten very far in those reforms, we also all had experienced the same kind of hostility and really that experience, that tightly controlled environment that is the CFS decision-making apparatus. And when we started looking into the history of the CFS, we realized that we were also not the first group of people to try to make these same reforms. So that, you know, dating back to even the 90s, people have had the same criticisms about the lack of transparency in CFS, the lack of ability for students to actually have an effect on decision making, and the control that especially long-term staff members of CFS have on the decision making process.
So what is the appropriate role of the CFS? I mean, what are they selling us and what are they not delivering?
So, I mean, if you ask the CFS, they would say a few things of what they provide. You know, one is that they lobby on our behalf to government officials. Another is that they are there to mobilize students. And, you know, one of the other things that they provide is providing discounted services to student unions. And, you know, certainly this is the issues of political organizing are one more of opinion, of course. But in my experience, I've found them to do a rather poor job of all of those things.
Do you have a touchstone of a particular issue that was brought forward to the CFS that seems to have not been taken care of or dealt with?
Sure. So some of the reforms that people have repeatedly tried to bring forward in the CFS have revolved around things like communicating issues to members. So, you know, there have been multiple motions put forward about things like putting the minutes of discussions at AGMs online. Another reform that people have tried to put forward is, you know, having a more clear budget. So, you know, that's in line with financial standards so that people can actually see how their money is being spent. You know, another example was a few times motions have been brought forward that would require CFS to disclose the legal action that they're involved in with student unions or with individual students. And none of those motions have moved forward in any kind of substantive way. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have said is there is a lot of suspicion around the CFS and there is a lot of distrust about what they do. And if people actually knew their motivation for taking legal action against student unions and fellow students, then maybe that would be something that could be justified. But this is information that they're not really willing to provide. And the more that we've looked into it on our own, it seems that largely most of this legal action that they're involved in is centered around students trying to vote to leave the Federation. So we really believe that, you know, students do have the right to do things like vote on whether or not they're participants in an organization like this. And, you know, it's unclear to us why that needs to be such a tightly controlled process. It seems like it would be more productive for the CFS to really engage with the issues that make people want to leave the CFS rather than just try to force them to stay through, you know, unreasonable defederation processes or through legal action.
So can you draw a parallel to CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations?
In terms of issues that they've had?
Well, in terms of, I'll phrase it this way. What is the solution that your group is proposing, and why is that solution not, reinvesting in CASA instead of the CFS as a proposal?
Right. So it would certainly not be an argument that I would make for people to join CASA. One of the things that you find is when you start to make critical arguments about the CFS, you do find that people across the political spectrum have reasons to take issue with the way that CFS functions, whether it's because they don't approve of their political tactics, whether it's because people don't approve of the way they spend their money, or whether it's because people just don't approve of their lack of democratic process. There is a wide variety of reasons that people take issue with the CFS. Personally, I don't think that CASA provides us with an alternative either. So
what is the alternative that's being proposed by your group?
So some of the students that have been involved in these defederations are really interested in you know, we're still interested in provincial and national scale organizing. We don't think that those are things we shouldn't move forward with. And we do really think that we need to mobilize students and get students involved and get them out there. But we have the opinion that that's going to be done by really engaging those students in the decision-making process. So, you know, I don't think a student is going to really care about a political campaign if they have a fundamental part in making that political campaign happen and directing its political orientation. So what we are talking about in terms of a new organization, it would be based on the idea that, you know, we want people to be in this body if they want to be in it. So I don't think there's anything productive that comes from forcing people to be part of a political organization. If people don't want to organize in that way or they don't want to organize in that body, then no one's going to try to force them to. So one of the ideas is that people could actually join this organization on smaller scales. So people, let's say, you know, in one department in a university could get together, have a meeting, like have a department scale assembly, and they could actually vote to join and participate in this organizing body that we're talking about creating. And the idea there is actually acknowledging that the political culture in different spaces, even on the same campus, you know, I'm at the University of Toronto. It's a huge university. And if you go to one campus, if you go to one department on campus, people, there's a very different political culture than if you go to a department that's, you know, right down the street. So we're recognizing that, you know, people can organize on different scales. They can make decisions on different scales. But yeah, we're not coming to this from a right-wing perspective. We really believe that what we need is a real left-wing student organization, but one that's based on the idea of grassroots democracy, of the direction of our campaigns actually being led by students, and you know, not even by executives, and certainly not by longtime staff, but actually getting students involved in decision-making in a legitimate way. And I think that if you're an organization that doesn't depend on students' money to the degree that CFS does, then you're not so worried about people voting to leave. One of the problems is of becoming such a giant financial organization that is so dependent on members' dues is that it does become a problem for CFS if we leave, because they're dependent on our member dues. So the idea for a new organizing body that we would create is to minimize that dependence on student money and really maximize the ability for students to make decisions for themselves.
When someone mentions football, do you think of the FA Cup, not the Super Bowl? Do you think Little Britain is 10 times funnier than anything on U.S. network television? If you answered yes to either of these, then you're ready to expand your musical horizons with The British Are Coming. 2 hours of the best in British alternative, rock, and electronica from the past 30 years. Join me, DJ Matt D, every Wednesday at 11 as we bring music from across the pond onto your radio on CFBU 103.7 FM.
We're talking with Ashley Engel. Your email address is timetomobilize@gmail.com. So what is the mobilization towards? Are we talking about lowering tuition? Are we talking about other fees? Like, what is it that is at the crux of the problem for the Canadian education system?
I mean, I definitely think there are a bunch of problems with the Canadian education system, you know, and this is certainly my personal opinion, but I mean, I think student debt is a huge problem. I certainly think the rising cost of tuition is a large problem, and you know, as a graduate student, I also think that freedom around people's ability to research is becoming an increasing problem in this country.
But, so what do you mean by the things, okay, yeah. Sorry, go on. I was just going to ask you, and then you can continue with what your thought was, but I was just, sure. What do you mean by the freedom to research?
So, you know, as graduate students, we found ourselves in increasingly controlled research environments. So, you know, if you look at campaigns like the more recent, like the scientist-led campaigns about the government controlling research, particularly around climate change, but also in terms of medical research, things like that. You know, for us as graduate students, those are huge problems. So, you know, it's not that some of the campaigns that the CFS purports to support are inherently horrible, but it's really the democratic processes of the institution that we take issue with. So, you know, in terms of forming this new organization, we really didn't want to set out from the beginning exactly what this organization was going to be. What we're really hoping is that we can have this founding conference in 2014, and we can really create the space for people to debate these ideas, to argue, you know, to mobilize in different ways. And if that's something that people want to be a part of, then we invite them to. But we're also not interested in forcing people who don't share our political views to be part of our mobilizing. We actually think that can be detrimental to your organization. Like, one of the issues that I think happens in CFS, one of the reasons that there's so much tension, is that there's very little room for debate. Things are very tightly controlled, but also it's very difficult for you to actually leave if you don't like what's happening there. So it almost seems natural that the product of that is going to be a lot of tension.
And also, if I may, a lack of accountability, because there's no consequence to not pursuing what a given student organization has proposed.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
And if I may, perhaps a lack of accountability, because there's no consequence for a student organization for not following a proposal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the arguments that the CFS will make is, you know, if students on your campus don't like the CFS or they don't know enough about the CFS campaign, well, that's just the fault of the student union there for not representing their campaigns enough. You know, I think that doesn't take into account a few things. Like, one, those campaigns might not make sense for that particular campus, or it might just be that, you know, when students don't feel like they really have the ability to participate in decision-making around those campaigns or to make decisions on how their money is used, then, you know, they're not going to be so turned on to participating in that project, because a lot of the time you just feel like you're having things handed down to you and then you're expected to just do their grunt work for them. And so, we're really hoping that we can sort of flip that on its head. I don't think we need to be afraid of the decisions that students are going to make. If when students come together and they have an open space for debate and they end up concluding something different than what you wanted them to, well, that's where those people are at, and they have every right to argue those points and make those decisions. So I think what we're really hoping for is that we can open some room in the Canadian student movement for that debate to happen, and for people to start to talk about what are the ways that we can legitimately mobilize students. You know, how can, if people want to be organizing protests, well, why is it that no one is going to, like, at least what I've been experiencing in Toronto with the National Days of Action or Day of Action, you know, we've seen dwindling numbers every year at this protest, and they've just been bringing in more people from a bunch of schools, because that's the only way you can make the numbers look like they're large enough. So it seems pretty clear to me that people have lost interest in this campaign, and that seems like a natural moment for us to question the tactics that are being used to mobilize people. And we really feel like it's time to put that power back in the hands of actual students, actually engage them in political debate, and for people who are interested in really mobilizing people and having debates about how we can have free education or how we can fight against tuition increases or any of those things, then we can have those debates honestly, and people can decide if it makes sense for their department or for their campus to actually participate in organizing in that way.
So how can members of the public listening to, say, this broadcast start to participate in the conversation now?
So, you know, obviously we put forward the position that we don't think that the CFS is a good use of our time, our political capital, or our resources. If there are other students that feel the same way, you know, one of the reasons that we put out this petition, or that we put out this press release, is to let people know that these petitions are happening. And people, I think, are often really, really scared and rightly daunted by the amount of work that needs to go in to collecting a petition of this size. You know, especially over the past few years, the CFS has certainly made it a little more difficult to get a petition to have a vote. And one of the ways they did that was by increasing the number of signatures that you need on that petition from 10% to 20% of your membership, which for a lot of campuses is quite large. But we wanted to let students know that there are people who are willing to do this, there are people who are interested to do this, and if they want to get involved and they want to start a petition on their campus, then, you know, we can all help each other however we can, and can share knowledge and share information and try to see the kind of student movement in Canada that we actually want.
Here at Brock University, we are not a member of the CFS, which is the Canadian Federation of Students. We are a member of OOSA, the Ontario Undergraduate Students Alliance, as well as CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. So can we maybe make the conversation a little more abstract as to what are the underlying currents that lead this sort of mobilization when we're talking about I mean, are we targeting the right people by going to the students? Isn't this a wider societal debate? Free tuition, addressing debt. Are these the kind of issues that need to be addressed in a way that it's not just up to students to handle students, but is it their parents? Is it their family members? Is it those who are interested in the future of the society? Is it pigeonholed to being just students who should be involved in this?
I definitely think that, you know, if students are going to be successful in mobilizing for their causes, it's going to be pretty essential to get, you know, other people in their community on board, whether that is their family or, you know, whether that's like other people in society who are just making sure that we have, you know, an educated, qualified, responsible population. But I think, you know, first off, we really need to have students engaged in that fight. I don't really think we're going to be able to engage the rest of the community if they don't feel like students have totally bought in to their own arguments and bought into their own fights. And also, you know, I think that the Canadian student movement, at least in Anglo-Canada, it's really stagnated for a long time. And we haven't really been seeing ourselves getting very far. In fact, it seems like a lot of the time, you know, people are less interested in student union elections. They're becoming less interested in participating in these kinds of campaigns. And, you know, I don't take from that they're, you know, not intelligent or that they don't care even. I really try to think of the reasons why they would be alienated from this movement. And, you know, I don't think I have all the answers. Which is one of the reasons why I really hope that we can open up this space so that lots of people can contribute to this conversation, lots of people can contribute to this debate. And when you're participating in really top-down, you know, like national executive and national staff-focused unions, that kind of inherently leads you to a place where students aren't in control of their own messaging and students aren't in control of their own movement. So we're really hoping that we can bring in new ideas, you know, bring in new, like a new revitalization of the numbers of people who are involved in it. And I think to do that first, we kind of have to wrestle some control away from these very centralized, top-down bodies that currently dominate the student movement in most of Canada.
Before I let you go, was there anything else you wanted to get across to us at this time?
I guess just one thing is, yeah, like even, you know, people who aren't leaving the CFS, like non-CFS schools, are certainly invited to participate in this founding conference when it happens. So like even students at Brock, you know, even as part of CAFSA or USA or something, if there were groups of students from Brock who still wanted to come and participate in debate and decision making, that would be totally legitimate. So if people are interested, they can either contact us. Obviously, the first step for us as CFS schools is really get through this petition period and get our votes to happen. But after that, we're hopefully going to be going, we're going to be pretty public about when this conference is happening and get as many people from as many different schools, you know, even people who are still CFS schools, if they're looking to organize in a different way, they're welcome also. So
we've been talking with Ashley Ingle, who is available through email at timetomobilize@gmail.com. Ashley, I'd like to thank you for coming on the program and for sharing your point of view with us.
Awesome, thank you.
A few weeks ago, we had a conversation with Muhammad Akbar, a University of Windsor student union executive, whom led a campaign to, in their words, oust USA, the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance. In this interview conversation, I asked Mr. Akbar about drawing a comparison between USA and the CFS, and this is what he had to say. In your previous comments, you mentioned the CFS, which is the Canadian Federation of Students.
Yes.
Are you a supporter of the CFS, and how would you say that its benefit is compared to, say, USA?
I'm a big fan of CFS, the Canadian Federation of Students. I encourage everyone to check out cfsontario.ca, which is the Ontario website for the Canadian Federation of Students. They're a really amazing organization. They're the largest student union in the country. I think some of their biggest advantages is they recognize, well, number one, their campaigns work is fantastic. They are bar none the best advocacy organization. or the national, the best national student advocacy organization in the country, bar none. You can really see it in the work they put out. They're not there to just become friends with the government. They're not there to just promote themselves and pad their resumes. You see it in the value of the work they're presenting. It's on student issues, and it's student-driven. It's all about students. It's talking about, you know, cutting tuition fees, not even freezing, cutting, reducing tuition fees, focusing on better accountability issues, focusing on student debt, on international students who pay 2 to 3 times what domestic students pay in tuition fees and are essentially funding universities where there's a lack of government funding because they pay so much more. They take a holistic approach. They have a vision that's national. The mission statement of CFS actually talks about the Federation and their goal, which is, I'm going to read you part of it, to create a system of post-secondary education that is accessible to all, which is of high quality, nationally planned, and which recognizes the legitimacy of student representation. They're amazing in this context. And in another context, they're really great with services. So I know you guys have travel cuts on campus. CFS provides ISA cards for free to all their members. So I know Brock students probably pay about $20 to travel cuts to get these ISA cards when you get them for free as part of your membership in the Canadian Federation of Students. Their other services are amazing too. Their health plans, their...
To cut you off for a second, actually, I believe that the travel cuts is no longer on campus this year, just to add to
really?
That. That was what I've heard. I haven't been on campus to see it myself, but I did hear something to that effect, so I wanted to add that to the...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the point still stands about ISIC cards, or ISICs, the International Student Identity Cards. These are huge savers, especially if you're traveling internationally. So we had a group do advocacy work in an area close to Machu Picchu. And so when they had to take the train to Machu Picchu, they used their ISIC cards and saved around $300. And that's just one trip. There's huge discounts around Canada and in a lot of different areas. So their services are incredible. We actually, I don't know if Brock does day planners, but we have a bunch of like day planner agendas. And we switched from a company that we used to the CFS handbooks, and we found that we were going to save a few thousand dollars. And the product is more ethical, it's more environmentally friendly, and it has a focus on, you know, student issues. There's a ton of information on, you know, tenant rights and things like that in there. So I like that their advocacy is amazing. I like that they do focus on services, which I think is really important, especially for unions with a bit less money. And finally, I think the connection with a lot of schools that, because CFS is larger, you have a connection with a lot more schools, and I really appreciate that context of, you know, when I have a problem, I can email a listserv with all the CFS schools, and I'll get quite a few responses on how to deal with things, and a lot of it is really helpful.
Next week on the program, Thursdays at 2 on CFBU 103.7, we're going to have Christopher Yen, the BUSU Vice President of Finance and Administration. We're hoping that Christopher will help explain the intention and implementation of a new bylaw, Bylaw 4200, which is the Referendum Implementation and Review Committee. We're looking to see how is this going to be implemented, who will be behind it, what are the intentions, as well as we're going to have a wider conversation about the financial condition of Brock University, given the President's Task Force and the issues that are facing students both here at Brock University and in the larger Canadian educational context. So we look forward to talking with him. Looking forward, we're also going to be covering BUSAC, the Brock University Student Administrative Council. The next BUSAC meeting is Tuesday, September 10th at 7 p.m. at the 13th floor of Shimon Tower. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, email us at povradiobrock@gmail.com, visit us on facebook.com/povradio, and visit us at cfbu.ca/archive.html. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sean Rilligan-Falvey.